طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد.
I think what you said, Abdullah. I turned it off completely and turned it back when I came. Work, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Some of these little tricks to old people, we don't know about them. Today, this is our 48th session, session number 48, reading from lessons. Arabic lessons in fiqh, level 3, Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. This is our session 48. And today, inshallah, we're going to start a new chapter, that is Kitab al-Siyam. And hopefully, yani which begins on page 65, hopefully we're going to try to cover the first few topics, its definition on page 65, its virtues and excellence on page 66. Its ruling and the evidence for it on page 66 and 67, and perhaps how the month of Ramadan is confirmed on page 67 as well. And we're going to cover some of it, at least. We're going to start today and try to cover the first few topics. Also, yani, we're going to sometimes be referring to some of the secondary references, and I've tried to send you the page numbers where this topic is dealt with in Al-Wajiz, Ulum al-Maram, Fiqh al-Ibadat, and Ikhtiyarat of Shaykh al-Albani, as well as Mulakhis al-Fiqhi of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. So that at least you can try to go back to some of those secondary references and read up. Yeah, you some extra supplementary reading on your own. Some of it we're going to refer to. Much of it, yeah, will be your personal effort trying to just cover the topic a little more thoroughly than covered here in the book. We're going to start from reading on page 65, Kitabu al-Siyami. Kitabu al-Siyam, yani the book of Siyam. The first thing that we normally begin with when we study any subject in fiqh, yani before we look at the details of that subject, we want to know, yani what is the definition of the word that we're going to be studying? What is the definition? So the first thing we're going to start with is the definition of Siyam. Does anybody want to offer us the definition of Siyam, yani linguistically or technically, not from the book? From yourself, not from the book, from yourself, in English or in Arabic, not from the book, from yourself. Now, who said in English? Do you want to give us a definition of Siyam in English?
Yeah.
You have one?
Yeah, I have one in Arabic. Okay, in English, abstaining from eating and drinking.
Abstaining from eating and drinking.
And I was starting before my brain. Before the
final
until
Maghrib. Before Fajr until Maghrib.
Yes.
Okay.
And although, make sure you...
Hold on, let him...
And make sure you follow all the
required... Also, and you follow the rules, requirements of fasting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. What, before we go on, what's missing from his definition? Any important element,
okay,
important element, huh? Niyyah. Niyyah. Doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Niyyah. That's very important. Now, Abdulaziz?
Pillar.
Huh? A
pillar.
A pillar. Yeah, it's from the pillars of Siyam, yani niyyah. Okay, you said you have what? You had your hand or something?
No.
Oh, Abdul Haq. You will give us an Arabic definition from himself. In Doga Arabi.
No.
تركوا الطعام
والشراب
من الفجر إلى المغرب
لله تعالى
وأيضا
تأكل
يعني leaving off food and drink from Fajr until Maghrib for the sake of Allah, and he wants to add something else to his definition.
Yeah.
And things like this. Okay, this is good. You have something?
Yeah, one try. Asiyam al-insaku min al-mukhtirati min al-fajri ila al-maghrib.
Okay. Al-insaq min al-mukhtirat min al-fajr ila al-maghrib. Good. What important element he left out? Important essential element, huh?
Niyyah.
Okay, look, the point is, all of us Yani, we have been fasting for a long time. Except our brother Ibrahim, maybe. You must have been kept high yesterday. Our brother Ibrahim here. Please introduce yourself to him after the fast. But the rest of us, we have been fasting for a long time, maybe for years, most of our life, and so on. We just got finished fasting Ramadan, so we know all about it. So that means every one of us, mandatory, must know what is fasting. We must know what is fasting. So here we're looking at, from a technical aspect, from Sharia perspective, what is fasting. And first linguistically, what it means in the language, and then linguistically, and then technically what it means in the Sharia. Of course we know what fasting is, but sometimes when we're studying a subject, we want to be a little more specific and a little more detailed and make sure that we cover every aspect of it. So today, inshallah, we're going to look at the definition of fasting linguistically and technically in the Sharia from more than one source. And we're going to compare those definitions and see, how we did in the definitions that we came up with and what the scholars have said, in their writings concerning Sharia. They left out also one thing. Marital relations also left out. Thank you. Because they're probably not married. So that's not applicable to them. They don't have to worry about that. Thank you, Abdul Hamid. Old folks are always defending young people. They're probably not married. They don't have to worry about that. Okay, so what we want to do though, we want to look at these definitions, carefully. We want to look at the definitions that we just heard in Arabic or in English, and we want to think about what was left out, what was missed, what was made general, what was specific. And sometimes the definitions in Arabic from the scholars of Islam, generally, they are both inclusive and exclusive. Inclusive of everything that should be there and exclusive of what shouldn't be in there. So when you say eating and drinking, maybe you're going to leave out something that is included. So you didn't get everything, it's not inclusive. You didn't get a definition that's inclusive of everything that belongs there. And one of the things that was left out, but Abdul Halim said they left it out perhaps because they didn't need to mention that, was having marital relations. Okay? But we also want to be exclusive of everything that's not a part of it. We don't want to make a definition that brings in something that's not a part of the definition. When we look at the scholars, the definition of scholars, we're going to see how sometimes some of them were more general and some of them more specific. And some of them expressed the same thing in different wording, but the essential elements were there. Even though they may have explained it differently, the essential elements are what is important. How do you define it? You have to make sure the essential elements are there. And the essential elements of fasting are what? Abstention. From the things that are prohibited during fasting time. What all things are really doing? Huh? Niyyah. Doing it for this, as an act of worship for the sake of Allah. And also?
Leaving sins.
Huh? That's secondary. The timing is from essential part of it. Abstention, time, what you are abstaining from, and the niyyah. Four essential elements to this definition. Let's look at what the scholars say. In our book, first, Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, number 3, Ta'rifu As-Siyam, page 65. As-Siyamu fil lughati al-imsaku. Was-Siyamu was-Sawmu masdarani min sama yasumu. First part of the definition, linguistic definition. As-Siyamu fil lugha, in the language, As-Siyam means al-imsak. That's it. What is siyam linguistically in Arabic language? Al-insak. Abstention. Refraining from something. Abstaining from it. Then they added to that the word siyam, as well as the word saum, are both, what? Masdaran. Huh? What are masdaran?
Actions.
Verbal noun, infinitive. Both of them are infinitive. They are nouns that have the meaning of the action of the verb that it comes from. Okay? But they are called infinitive or gerund or a verbal noun. Right? Both of them, as-siyam and saum, are both masdars from the verb sama yasum. Both of them. So we can say siyam or we can say as-saum. وفي الشرع عند الشريعة الصيام والصوم is الإمساك that's one element على المفطرات second element من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس third element مانيتي fourth element four elements he came with it. Okay, the wording may be different but those four elements should be present in the definition of the Sharia definition of الصيام الإمساك abstention على المفطرات from the مفطرات or what? The things that يعني مفطرات يعني مفطر is from the verb أفطر مفطر مفطر is the اسم فاعل the thing which causes you to أفطر causes you to break your fast يعني the things that invalidate your fast the مفطرات are the things that invalidate your fast abstention number one, from the notice they use al mufattirat or mufattirat also could be used, which is inclusive. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying eating and drinking and sexual relations and things like this, al mufattirat. Mufattirat includes anything that invalidates the fast. Anything that invalidates the fast. من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس. That's the time element. From the break of dawn until the setting of the sun. And which fajr are we talking about? The first one or the second one?
The
real fajr. Not the first fajr, which yani the Prophet used to have two muezzins, right? Bilal and Ibn Maktoum. And Ibn Maktoum used to call the adhan as the first fajr, which is not the real fajr. To alert the people who are praying night prayer to get ready for Fajr, people who are fasting to take suhoor and so on. And then the second Fajr, the real Fajr, Bilal used to call the adhan. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ May Allah be pleased with both of them and the other of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. From طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس, meaning from the real Fajr, الفجر الصادق, when the person has to stop eating except with only one exception, person has to stop eating at the true Fajr. Except what?
Except if the person is continuing to eat.
Except if they just want to keep eating, right? They're really hungry?
No, it's
Food is in hand. Food is in your hand. You're eating something in your hand, drinking vessel. Yani what you have in your hand, the Prophet said, finish it. Finish it. Except that. Otherwise, for Ruhul Fajr, class, that's the end of the permissibility of eating or drinking. What time do we stop eating or drinking? At the break of dawn. Not 10 minutes before, not 15 minutes before, not half an hour before. At the break of dawn. Even to the extent if a person has some dates in their hand, then they eat them. If they have some milk in the cup, then they drink it. Now. According to the authentic hadith of the Prophet
One who is using some of these apps, we have to read like a good proof that says that maybe Fajr begins from 10 minutes to before or how do one distinguish between which of those? I mean, what is
yeah, if a person is using an app or you have on your watch or your telephone or something telling you the time of Fajr and they have different systems of calculating the times of the prayers, so there may be some variation in them, how do we know what?
The difference between the first Fajr and the real Fajr.
Well, those apps tell you supposedly tell you the real Fajr. They don't have two Fajrs. They only have the time when it's actually Fajr.
No.
Whether or not they're accurate, that's another matter altogether. That's another matter altogether. They don't tell you the first Fajr and the second Fajr.
So it's advisable to stop at where it is.
When they say it's Fajr, that's supposed to be the real Fajr. You're supposed to stop eating.
Okay.
If it is accurate. But unfortunately, we're not going to get sidetracked here. We have a lot to cover today. Most of them, they're not accurate. They're not accurate. The times that they have for the Fajr prayer, like the times they have for Isha prayer, are not accurate. They're not accurate. That's a fact. That's clear. All a person has to do is go out into the desert and look up in the sky, and the time of Fajr will be pitch dark outside, according to those calculations. If you go out in the desert at the time of Isha, it will have been pitch dark half an hour before that. The time for Isha is when the redness from the setting of the sun disappears. Long before the time calculated. Allahu
Musta'an. Yeah, I was doing something and they were saying that maybe those applications they may be given in the first part, in the first round.
That's not what is intended.
Yeah.
That might be what is happening. That's not what is intended.
That's not what they are claiming. Yeah.
They are claiming this is the time of Fajr. Allahu A'lam. Okay, let's go on. This is the definition that we have given in our book. You can memorize this definition. It's a good definition. The Sharia definition, al-imsak al-muftirat min tulul al-fajr ila ghurub al-shams ma'niyati. 4 points. Yani abstain from all things that invalidate the fast, from the break of dawn until the setting of the sun, along with niyya, intention, yani having ikhlas, doing it as an act of worship for the sake of Allah alone. Okay, we're going to take a look at a couple of other definitions. We're going to look at the definition that Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak Khoi, rahimahullah, may Allah shower his mercy upon him, what he gave us in his commentary on Bulugh al-Maram. Yani Bulugh al-Maram, Kitab al-Siyam, we know Bulugh al-Maram, right, is the book of who? Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah. In his book, Bulugh al-Maram, and you have some commentary by Sheikh Safi Rahman, rahimahullah. He says in the commentary of the first hadith in Kitab al-Siyam, hadith number 635, La taqaddamu Ramadan fi sawmi yawmin wa la yawmaini. To the end of the hadith, and don't precede Ramadan with the fast of a day or 2 days. Any type of person that normally used to fast in a day, or Monday or Thursday or something like this. He says in the commentary, Kitab al-Siyam, yani the ta'arif of Siyam, huwa lughatan al-imsak. That's what we already know, right? Lughatan al-imsak. The shara, he says, al-imsaku an al-aqli wa shurbi wal-jima'i. Sounds like what Abdul Hadi is saying, except somebody added al-jima'. Right? Al-imsaku an al-aqli wa shurbi wal-jima'i. Yani abstaining from al-aql, eating, or shurb, drinking, and marital relations with one's spouse. Two elements, al-imsak and aql, shurb, wa jima' fi al-nahari, in the daytime. Yani, without being specific, yani, tulu al-shamsi, ghurub al-shamsi, fi al-nahari. Fourth element, ala wajhi al-mashru'i. What does that mean? Al-wajh al-mashru'.
No,
in the way, in the manner that has been prescribed by the Sharia. Okay, he has given all four elements. He gave a little detail somewhere and less detail somewhere else, but he has the four elements. Abstaining from eating and drinking and sexual relations. These are the main things that invalidate the fast. The main thing. Eating and drinking and sexual relations, they are not the only things that invalidate the fast. Yani, what else invalidates the fast besides eating and drinking and sexual relations? Huh? Gazing? Does that invalidate the fast?
No.
This is something that's a disputed issue. We're talking about the things that are agreed upon that invalidate the fast, not the things that may lessen the perfection or the reward of the fast, but actually invalidates the fast. No? If you vomit, what?
Intentionally,
willfully. No.
Like violating the intention, like you were fasting and then you just intend that you're no
longer. Invalidating your intention.
Yeah.
Okay, now. Yeah, the person says, I'm not fasting anymore. You have to have intention to fast, right? Now?
I was going to say that, but instead I'll say now, taking medicine, like an IV that has nutrition in it.
Oh, taking an IV that has nutritional benefit. Not taking any kind of medicine. Nutritional benefit. Taking something into the body other than normal food and drink, but it serves the purpose of nutrition for the body. Okay, these are some of the things. There's some discussion about some of these points, but in any case, the point is that there are various things that invalidate the fast. What he has mentioned here is akul shurb wa jima'. The most essential of those things is eating and drinking and marital relations. He says, and nahar, instead of specifying from fajr until setting of the sun, but nahar, that's what it means. And he says, ala wajh al-shar'i al-mashru' Yeah, he means by that in the way that has been legislated in the Sharia. Perhaps what is intended by that is what? Yeah, that you do it. Yeah, what? Al-wajh al-mashru' means that you do it in the way that is legislated in the Sharia with al-ikhlas. Because the Sharia requires two things: that mutaba'a, following the Sunnah, and ikhlas. And no deed is accepted without doing it in accordance with the Sunnah and doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. So he said, a general expression, al-wajh al-mashru'. Meaning it has to be done properly in the proper manner, and it has to be done with the sincerity for Allah alone. He adds to this, yani, something that some of you suggested also in part of his Sharia definition. He says, يَتْبَعُ ذَلِكَ, and what follows from these things that invalidate the fast is also in fact an اللغوي وَرَفَثِي وَالْكَلَامَ الْمَكْرُوهُ وَالْمُحَرَّمُ. So likewise, yani, coming also with these things, yani, there are other matters that a person should abstain from. There's difference of opinion whether or not these things actually invalidate the fast. There's no doubt that they take away from the perfection of the fast, and that they lessen the reward of the fast. And that is the person who, yani, doesn't abstain from al-lahwi wa rafati, yani, engaging in evil speech, vain speech, yani, indecent speech, and things like this. Kalam al-makruh, yani, dislike speech, or muharram or haram speech. And he's saying that this also, yani, should be included in what we should abstain from. But as for whether or not these things actually invalidate the fast, there's a difference of opinion about that. Some of the scholars of the Sunnah say that it does, because the purpose of fasting is not realized if you don't abstain from these things. The purpose of fasting is what? Taqwa. So if a person doesn't abstain from backbiting and slander and haram speech, then they haven't achieved anything which is the objective of the fast, that is a taqwa. Allahu A'lam. وكان فرض الصوم في السنة الثانية من الهجرة. He said that, yani, the obligation of fasting was legislated in the second year of the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. One more definition that we want to look at, also a very important definition, and it's from Fiqh al-Ibadat. Fiqh al-Ibadat is whose book? Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He says in, yani, the book of fasting or Fatawa al-Siyam, al-Maqsood bil-Sawm lughatan wa shar'an. Yani, the question they ask him for the other Shaykh, ma al-Maqsood bil-Siyam? Ma al-Maqsood bil-Siyam? Lughatan wa shar'an. What is the meaning of this question? Ma al-Maqsood bil-Siyam? What is the intended meaning of Siyam? Lughatan wa shar'an. Linguistically and technically in the Sharia. The Shaykh, he says, Al-Jawab, Al-Siyam fil-Lugha ma'anahu al-imsak. Fasting in the language, its meaning is imsak, abstain. Wa minhu qawluhu ta'ala, wa imma tariyanna min al-bashari ahadan faquli inni nazartu lirrahmani sawma. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّا. Yani, the saying of Allah, yani, a proof for this meaning in the Arabic language, that siyam means insaf, abstention, yani, from something, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you were to see any human being, then you must say, indeed, I have vowed to Ar-Rahman sawm, abstention. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّا. So I will not speak today to any human being. What is the sawm that she vowed here? It was speaking, abstention from speaking. So this is a proof that sawm and siyam, both of them being master from sawm and so, that linguistically they need to abstain. In this ayah, it means I have vowed to abstain from speaking to any human being. Who was this ayat revealed in reference to? Maryam. So to Maryam, 19th Surah 26 ayat. Then the Shaykh goes on to say, that's in linguistic meaning. So he also gave us the benefit of what? A proof in the Quran that the linguistic meaning of sound is abstention.
أما في الشرع فهو التعبد لله تعالى بالإمساك على المفطرات من طلوع الفجر الثاني إلى غروب الشمس. Shaykh gives different definition and wording, but all the elements are present. يعني the first element is what? هو التعبد لله تعالى. That it is and devotion, worship for the sake of Allah. This is what? The niyyah. That it is something being done for the sake of Allah. Bil imsaki, yani worshipping Allah through abstention. That's the second element, abstention. An al muftirat, yani from all the things that invalidate fast. Third element, wa min tulu'i al fajri al thani ila ghurub al shamsi, yani the fourth element, the time. But notice the Shaykh added something here. What? What did he add here? Al fajr al thani, al fajr al sadiq, meaning the fajr that is actually the time of the break of dawn. Now, so these are yani some various wordings that came for this yani linguistic and technical definition of siyam. Okay, we're going to go to the second point, and on the following page of our textbook, second point, that is on page 66, the second topic that we're going to look at is what? Fadlu al-Siyam. Fadlu al-Siyam. What do we mean by Fadlu al-Siyam? The virtue or the excellence. Yani, the superiority of Siyam over other yani actions. What is its virtue? What is the virtue? What is the excellence of Siyam? It said, Warada fi fadlihi hadith kathira. Yani, many hadith have been narrated concerning the excellence of fasting. Minha, what do we understand from Minha here? That there are many, but from amongst those many, we're just going to mention a few. Minha, min al kathira. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala Allahu azza wa jalla. Any meaning? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah said, Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic said, what kind of hadith is this? Hadith Qudsi. The Prophet said that Allah said, Kullu amali ibn Adam lahu illa siyam fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Any meaning? Every deed of the son of Adam, every deed of the human being is for him, for himself. Lahu. Illa as-siyam. Except fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Because fasting is for me, and I will reward it. This is a tremendous statement here. We're not going to look at these hadiths in too much detail because it takes too much time. But the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this statement is distinguishing as-siyam from every other deed. From every other deed, in what sense? That it is special in the sense that it is one type of action. Allah says, yani every deed the human being does for himself, except fasting is for me. Why is it for me? Because fasting is the one act of worship that a person is doing exclusively for Allah alone, in the sense that
nobody
really knows if you are really fasting. Everybody can come out in the daytime during Ramadan and pretend to be fasting. But only the person who has pure sincerity is really fasting, because otherwise, while he's in the house, he can just lock himself in the room and eat as much as he likes, or she likes, and then come out and make believe.
Angry face.
Huh? What kind of face?
An angry face.
An angry face, like I'm mad because I'm fasting.
You need it.
Alright? He said when he was a little child? A little child? He's like, this thing is hard. Where are you going to lock myself in and eat something? Now, okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguished Siyam over every other act because of this characteristic or this aspect of the fasting that, yani, when you are praying, people see you praying.
But when you're fasting, there's nothing to see. Okay, so the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا And this is also understood to mean that the reward for fasting is going to be tremendous. Allah said, I'm personally going to reward this. Allah rewards every day, right? That's done for His sake alone, according to the Sharia. And He gives the distinction here. وَالصِّيَام جُنَّةٌ فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ سَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ وَلَا يَسْقَرْ فَإِنْ سَابَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ Some of the variations, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ or whatever it came, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ Second part of this hadith, السيام جنة This is also a virtue of siyam. That it's a jumna, it's a shield. It's a shield, it's a form of protection from the fasting person. And how is it a protection? Because when a person is fasting, they're going to be more in trying to humble themselves to be conscious of their behavior and their action. They're going to be thinking about Allah more because every time you're on the court to eat or drink, you're going to abstain from eating and drinking because of Allah. So it means that your mind, your consciousness of Allah is going to be greater and your humility and so on and so forth.
Similarly, like, not only your cautious about eating and drinking,
And this also, the abstention from eating and drinking, lawful things, only for the sake of Allah, strengthens your ability to abstain from that which is unlawful. Yani, I'm abstaining from lawful things for the sake of Allah. How can I then engage in that which is haram? So, in many ways, yani, a siyam is a tremendous protection for the fasting person. Now, Now, also a person should have to think about whether or not they're doing something sincerely for the sake of Allah. A siyam is a junnah, so if any one of you finds himself in a day of fasting, then he must la yarfuth yawmaydin wa la yasqar. Yani, la yarfuth means
foul
speech, or speech related to indecencies, sexual relations, stuff like this. La yarfuth, wa la yaskhab. La yaskhab, don't shout and scream. That is, don't shout at people or scream at people. And even if somebody, فَإِنْ سَابَهُ أَحَدٌ If somebody assaults you, يعني, or قَاتَلَهُ or tries to fight with you, فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ Then he must say, I'm fasting. Some of the narrations said, twice I'm fasting. Shaykh al-Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, one of them is for yourself and one of them is for another person. Yani, inform that person, I'm fasting. First remind yourself, I'm fasting. I'm not going to engage in what you're engaging in. And then also inform that person that I'm fasting. You know, I'm not the person that is ready for fighting and arguing and shouting and all of that. Even though, if I was not fasting, I'm certainly capable of dealing with you. But I'm fasting, so I'm going to give you a break today. You get a free pass. It doesn't invalidate the fast, but it certainly takes away from the perfection of the fast. No, because the fasting is supposed to make you more conscious. You're not supposed to forget. But if you forgot, we're human beings, right? Even if a person ate or drank forgetfully, and they really forgot, they should stop when they remember, and the fast is not invalidated. So if a person forgot and shouted at somebody, fast is not invalidated. But the perfection of the fast is certainly decreased by engaging in behavior that's unbecoming of the fasting person. The rest of the hadith, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي مُحَمَّدٌ بِيَدِهِ لَخُلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَتْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْقِ I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. نَفْسِي مُحَمَّدٌ, the soul of Muhammad. I swear by Allah, the one who controls my life. لَخُلُوفِ يعني لا is for تأكيد يعني the smell from the mouth of the fasting person is afiyabu, more tayyib, more pleasant with Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah than the smell of this sweet-smelling perfume.
I have a question about that. Is it the same
fasting from their mouth. Then the smell, the sweet smell of fragrance.
And when Musa alayhi salam was going to make Allah say why he crushes it. And that part it means like Allah was on it to keep in our lushes to keep it for you now. But it's before we start praying, he did the fasting to say crush out.
Yeah, in general, yeah, it's from the sunnah to brush your teeth before praying. Yani at the time of wudu or at the time of beginning the prayer. That's from the sunnah. Now, it's from the sunnah to do so. That's separate and unrelated to fasting. That's general. That's general. But if a person is fasting, it's also sunnah to use this way. The point here is that what is intended here is that the odor that comes from the stomach of the human being when they are fasting, due to fasting, that odor, which is offensive to people, is more pleasant to Allah, Yawm al-Qiyamah, meaning that that smell is the result of a deed that beloved to Allah. Okay, that's the intended meaning here, is that the smell, though it may be offensive to human beings, Allah is not looking at the smell. He's looking at the cause of that smell, which is the act of worship that the person is doing. Yani Allah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, He doesn't look to your shape, your form, or your wealth, or your property. وَإِنَّمَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. But Allah looks at your heart and your deeds. So Allah is looking at it from the reality perspective. Other people are looking at smells, somebody's breath smell. They are not getting past that this smell is caused by this good deed that's loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah is looking beyond that. Allah is looking to the reality of it. Let's finish the hadith, because we're not going to finish this. We're not going to even finish this first chapter. Better than, yeah, it's more atiyah, more, yeah, pleasant to Allah in Yawm al-Qiyamah than rih and mist. Yani the smell of the mist. Mist, yani means the sweet smelling fragrance. Naam, Abdul Haq.
I think it also encourages us not to be disturbed by our own smell when we fast.
Also, naam, it's encouragement us not to be disturbed by the smell from ourselves or from anyone else. Allahu Musta'an. Tayyib. The end of the hadith. لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ يَفْرَحُهُمَا. Yani, the Sa'im has two occasions of happiness that he will enjoy. إِذَا أَفْتَرَ فَرِحَ بِفِطْرِهِ وَإِذَا لَقِيَ رَبَّهُ فَرِحَ بِسَوْمِهِ. Yani, the fasting person has two occasions of joy. That he will experience joy on these occasions. The first of them, if he broke his fast, and he finished the fast at the end of the day, he will be happy about breaking the fast. The second one, if he meets or when he meets his Rabb, yani in Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will be happy for his fast, yani that he fasted. The first of them, note that he will be happy at the breaking of the fast. Some people may be happy that the fast is over. Other people may be happy that they were successful in completing the fast in anticipation of a great reward. These are two different perspectives. But he will be happy at the time of breaking his fast. Some people because it's over. But not everyone. Some people are happy because, Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me today to complete this fast. For His sake alone, in anticipation of earning the reward of Allah. And the second happiness is at the time of meeting their Rabb, yani they will be happy for their fast because of what? The reward that Allah has for the fast to be.
The sunnah, when it's time to breakfast, you gather around the food because.
Is it sunnah at the time of breaking the fast to gather around the food?
10 minutes before.
No, that's not from the sunnah. How could it be? It's not even sunnah to prepare food to break the fast. It's sunnah to break the fast with some fresh dates or dry dates or water. What is it to gather around? It's nothing to gather around. That's not from the sunnah. To eat a meal at the time of breaking the fast is not sunnah. The sunnah is to break your fast with some dates and pray Maghrib immediately without delay. After that, eat as much as you like, as long as you don't overdo it. Yani, 1/3, 4,
food, and one third for drink, and one third so you can breathe. Breathe. So you can breathe now. It should be left so you can breathe. Okay, let's close here. This hadith, Rawahu al-Shaykhan, meaning?
Muslim.
Yeah, al-Bukhari Muslim. Wallahdu li Muslim. Meaning? This specific wording is from the Sahih al-Muslim. Hadith number 2 concerning the fadl of Siyam, the excellence of Siyam, and Sahli ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ بَابًا يُقَالُ لَهُ الْرَيَّانُ يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ الصَّائِمُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُمْ يُقَالُ أَيْنَ الصَّائِمُونَ فَيَقُومُونَ لَا يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُمْ فَإِذَا دَخَلُوا أُغْلَقَ فَلَمْ يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Yani Sa'd ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet that indeed in Jannah there is a door. It is called, it is known as Ar-Rayyan. This door is called what? Ar-Rayyan. The people who are fasting will enter from it on the day of standing, the day of resurrection. And no one other than them will enter that door. It will be said, where are the fasting people? And they will stand up. No one will enter, yani that door, other than them. So if and when they have entered, the door will be closed. And no one will enter other than them. Yani no one else will enter. This hadith of the Kafir Alayh, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Now, and since we just finished Ramadan, yani, perhaps this is a reminder for us to do some more fasting even though Ramadan is over. Naam. Yani, Dhul Qa'dah. And what about the Dhul Hijjah? The first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, naam. Also, and Monday and Thursday, and the Ayyam al-Eid, and so on, right? Okay, as far as the virtue of fasting and the station or the status of the Siyam, just quickly, I'm going to read a note from Fiqh al-Ibadat. From Fiqh al-Ibadat, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, on page 245, Na'am Abdul Haq.
Yeah, it's just
about
what
Abu Bakr
mentioned. Because I heard something different, like I used to hear that it's good to break the fast together.
Breaking fast together is good, maybe. But I think what he was saying, what he said to me, over the food. Yeah, know there's some food spread out, and 5 or 10 minutes before Maghrib, we'll all be sitting there over the food, looking at it, counting down, to that's not sunnah, that's what we're saying. We're not saying that there's any number of people breaking fast together. Normally, the men, the Muslims, are going to be breaking fast together in Ramadan every day. Because you're going to have to be in the masjid, more than likely, to pray Maghrib. Right? Which is obligatory upon the men. So if you're in the masjid for Maghrib, you're going to be breaking fast together. No problem with that. But sitting over the pool, 10 or 15 minutes before, just looking at it, waiting for the class to count down, to devour all of this food, that's not from the sunnah. That's what we're saying. Quickly, time is running out on us. مكان الصيام وفضل مكانة الصيام وفضله. Sheikh Imam Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen in his Fatawa concerning Siyam on page 245. The question is, Fadilat al-Sheikh, ما هي مكانة الصيام في الدين وفضله في العبادة وخاصة في شهر رمضان. Yani, what is the station, what's the status, the high status of fasting in the deen of Islam, and what is its excellence in terms of worship, especially in the month of Ramadan? The Shaykh gives a brief answer. مَكَانَ فِي الصِّيَامِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَنَّهُ أَحَدُ أَرْكَانِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي لَا يَقُومُ إِلَّا بِهَا وَلَا يُتَمُّ إِلَّا بِهَا. What is the station of Siyam in Islam? It is one of the great, one of the magnificent pillars of Islam. Coming from the 5 pillars of Islam, which Islam will not stand up. لا يقوم إلا بها.
يعني it's one of the pillars that holds up the deen. ولا يتم إلا بها. And Islam will not be complete except with these pillars, and it is one of them. وأما فضله في الإسلام, as far as its excellence in Islam, فقد ثبت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا ذكر له ما تقدم من ذلك. We just read two hadith of the virtue of the fasting. Here's a third hadith. The Shaykh says, as for its excellence, he skipped those two hadith, and he came to this hadith. And the choice, the virtues, we said, right? The hadith concerning the virtues of fasting are many, kathira. Minha, kathira wa kathira. But here the Shaykh came with a different hadith from the virtues of fasting, well fast, Ramadan, with iman, and ihtisab. غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. What is the meaning of the end of the hadith?
The question is still also to especially in Ramadan.
And especially in Ramadan. Now,
the one who fasts in Ramadan expecting the reward from Allah, he is forgiven from the
sins. غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, meaning his previous sins. No, previous sins will be forgiven for him. But with two conditions, to be fasted, Ramadan, with iman and ihtisab. And the scholars have given different interpretations to this. What's clear is that the person has to be fasting, believing in Allah, believing that Allah has legislated this, and with ihtisab, having hope, anticipation, expectation of reward from Allah. And this means that sometimes people do not have the consciousness of ihtisab. This reward is for the person who fasts with iman and ihtisab. So maybe some people, they're just fasting because it's obligatory, we gotta do it. I believe it, yeah. But they're not having consciousness of what? Expectation, anticipation of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a very important element for the person to achieve this reward. This is something that we have to be conscious of. And there are other hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that there's a reward for a person who does something with iman and ihtisab. We need to know about this. There are different wordings that can be used. You can use the wording that came, four wording that came in the narration concerning salat. Or you can summarize, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Mubarak ala Muhammad, and it's possible either way. It's not necessary to recite it in full, but what is important is that a person should ask for salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you have to know that. And there are some narrations that are longer than others. Whatever a person knows or feels comfortable with, then it's optional. It's not like specific wording that's mandatory. But it is important that we supplicate, and after hearing that land, that this should be tight from the supplication of the Sunnah.
Yeah.
I just want to read one more point here, and we don't have a lot of time left because the time is over time. Yeah, so we don't have a lot of time. So, if there's a question related to what we read, it's better. I need to stick to the subject, otherwise, if we get too much sidetracked, we're going to lose a lot of time. We started 10 minutes late, so I want to take these 10 minutes that we have before the Iqamah. If somebody has a question about what we read already, no problem. We'll take it. Otherwise, we're just going to read one more topic.
Fasting
for a non-Muslim?
No,
a new Muslim. Yani, what about it? They should be informed. They should be informed. They should fast. Yani, when a person enters Islam, then there are obligations that become upon them upon entering Islam. Even if they are new in Islam, fasting is obligatory. If a person entered Islam the day before Ramadan, or the first day of Ramadan, or during the month of Ramadan, they have to fast. As soon as they entered Islam, it became obligatory upon them to fast, and they should fast. My mother was 65 years old when she entered Islam, just before the beginning of Ramadan, she fasted the whole month. She was 65 years old, and she was new in Islam. No problem. It's not difficult to fast. Fasting is not difficult. Of course, some people will have more difficulty than others, but if a person enters Islam, they should fast. And whatever became obligatory at that time upon them, they should fulfill. Okay, the next topic
and they came in our book after the definition of excellence and fasting. And this will be the last topic. Hukmu as-sawm, hukmu sawm Ramadan. Yani hukmu sawmi Ramadan. Yani the ruling concerning fasting the month of Ramadan. I'm just going to read this, and then maybe we'll read some other notes concerning the ruling next week. But for today, I'm just going to read from the book on page 66, and at the bottom of page 66 and the top of page 67, the ruling concerning fasting Ramadan. What is this ruling? Huwa ruknun min arkan al-Islam. It is a pillar from the pillars of Islam, yani the five pillars of Islam.
Before we go forward, it says ruling concerning fasting.
No. It's different than other fasting, no. And there are different types of fasting, some fasting that's obligatory, and some fasting that's not obligatory. Some fasting that's obligatory, there are different types of obligatory fasting. Yani there's fasting that's obligatory, and there's fasting that's not obligatory, and even the obligatory fasting, there are different types of obligatory fasting. There's fasting Ramadan, there's fasting for the person who committed some act that they have to fast, yani as a kafara for, there's fasting, a person made an oath to do something that they made obligatory upon themselves, and so on. That became obligatory. So there's obligatory fasting, and there's non-obligatory fasting, and the obligatory fasting is also different types. And we're asking about what's the ruling concerning the fast of Ramadan specifically. There may be other obligatory fasting, but we're talking about Ramadan. Hukmu sawmi Ramadan, specifically the fast of Ramadan. For Rukun in Arkan al-Islam is one of the pillars of Islam. By the way, just as a linguistic note, Arkan al-Islam means the pillars of Islam, the five pillars of Islam. And Arkan al-Iman means the pillars of faith, yani the six pillars of faith. Both of them are Arkan. Arkan al-Islam and Arkan al-Iman. They are the pillars of Islam, the pillars of Iman. Five pillars of Islam, six pillars of Iman. وَالدَّلِيلَ عَلَى هَذَا الْحُكْمِ دَلِيلَ عَلَى هَذَا الْحُكْمِ. And the evidence for this ruling, that it is a pillar of Islam, an obligatory duty. الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ وَالْإِجْمَاعِ. Yani the evidence comes from the book, and the Sunnah, and the Ijma. As far as the book, from the Kitab, قول الله تعالى, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. يعني سورة البقرة, second surah, 183rd ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you who have believed, كتب عليكم الصيام, يعني fasting, has been prescribed for you, has been made obligatory. كتب فرض. Just as it has been prescribed or made obligatory upon those before you, yani the nations before you of the previous prophets, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The objective of the fast, the main primary objective, is so that you may achieve the taqwa, yani a state of observing the commands of Allah and avoiding His prohibitions. What now? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ means so that you may attain a taqwa. Yani in other words, the fasting is with this intent, this purpose, this objective, so that you may attain a taqwa. Yani it can also have the linguistic meaning, but what is intended here is that it is that the fasting is a means through which you can attain a taqwa. That's what's intended here. The second evidence from the book is the saying of Allah the Most High, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان ومن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. فليصمه. سورة البقرة, second surah, 185th ayah. يعني following the previous ayah, يعني two ayahs later, the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Qur'an was sent down. It was sent down, it was revealed as a guidance for humanity and clarification of the means of guidance and a criterion. And the Qur'an was sent down with these purposes. So whoever witnesses whoever from amongst you, man shahida minkum ash-shahr, whoever witnesses the month, meaning whoever is present, yani not a traveler, at the time when this month comes, fell yasumhu, then he should fast it. Or he should fast it, or we can say in another way of translating this, fell yasumhu. Is there any other way we can translate it in English other than he should fast it?
As a result,
he should. What is that? Fell yasum. Lam is what? Lam al amr. This means the command. What do you say? He should fast it. He should fast it. No, he must fast it. Sure, you can say he should fast it, but actually, literally, it means he must fast it. That is obligatory, because this is a proof of what? The obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan. فَمَنْ شَعِدَ لِكُمْ شَعْفْ فَلْ يَصُمُ. Whoever is present, resident, when this month comes, then he must fast it. He must fast this month of Ramadan. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah 185th ayah. وَمِنَ السُّنَّةِ وَمِنَ السُّنَّةِ and the evidence of the Sunnah, قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادتين لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان متفق عليه من حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. From the Sunnah is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Islam has been built upon five pillars. The first of them, the bearing witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. The second of them, establishment of the Salat. The third of them, the giving of the Zakat, charity, obligatory charity. The fourth of them, the pilgrimage, yani to Mecca. The fifth of them, Sawm Ramadan, fasting Ramadan, hadith muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by
Al-Bukhari
and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar, his first name is?
Abdullah
ibn Umar. Radiallahu anhu. وَفِي hadith, also from the Sunnah, يعني في حديث تلحة ابن عبيد الله رضي الله عنه أن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله أخبرني ما فرض الله علي من الصيام فقال شهر رمضان إلا أن تتطوع شيئا متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. Yani, from the hadith of Talha ibn Ubaidullah, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that a man asked the Prophet وسلم, saying to him, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of what Allah has made obligatory upon me concerning fasting. The Prophet said, what Allah has made obligatory in fasting is the month of Ramadan. Is that the tatawwa shay'an,
except?
Unless you do it voluntarily, you may fast other days. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, and the exact wording is from Al-Bukhari. As far as the ijma', yani proof of the ijma' as evidence that fasting Ramadan is obligatory, قد أجمعت الأمة على وجوب صيام رمضان وأنه أحد أركان الإسلام التي علمت من الدين بالضرورة وأن منكره كافر مرتد عن الإسلام. نعم سبحان الله. قد أجمع الأمة, the whole Muslim Ummah have reached consensus of agreement upon the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan. There's nobody who has another opinion from among Muslims. And also, not only is it obligatory, but it's one of the pillars of Islam, التي علمت من الدين بالضرورة. What does that mean? التي علمت, يعني it became known. It is something that became known from this deen بالضرورة. يعني of necessity, that every Muslim has to know this. There's no way that a person can escape from knowing this. Everybody has to know it's علمت, well known from the deen. By necessity, وَأَنَّ مُنْكَرَهُ كَافِرٌ مُرْتَلْ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِينَ
when the denier of light
Yes.
The one who denies it, denies the obligation of fasting Ramadan, is a disbeliever, and an apostate was born outside of Islam. Concerning the ruling and the evidences for this ruling, we also look in the future at Fiqh al-Ibadat. I'm just bringing to your attention for homework. Look at Fiqh al-Ibadat, which Imam al-Uthaymeen mentions on page 244 and 245, and also al-Wajid, Sifat al-Sunnah and Kitab al-Aziz on page 195. Please go back and look at those references. Concerning this point, the last point that we deal with today, the Hukm of Sawm Ramadan, we're going to read next week. Somebody remind me. Next week we're going to read from those two sources, Shaykh al-Ibadah and al-Wadid, Shaykh al-Sunnah al-Kitab al-Aziz, on this particular point before we go on to the next point. It's time for the Qama. Subhanaka wa abu wa bihamdika. Mahim la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa jazakum Allahu khair.